because he hasn't seen his mom in over 20 years. She was in Tanzania, and so when he went from the Congo to South Africa, he saw her for a couple weeks, over 20 years ago. So this is a really hard one for him. And then Brother Charlie's family's all together, so make sure you say hi to everyone. That's a huge prayer request answered. So praise the Lord and thank you that he answered our prayers. Amen. So let's go to 1 John. Now, you that have the translations, I will tell you when we'll get to your translations. I was listening to a pastor, and it fits so well to what I wanted to preach today that I couldn't help but go over a few points. When one becomes a follower of Jesus, he just doesn't receive a new past. He receives a new life that replaces his dead life that was within him. Being part of Christ's family isn't just about a profession of faith. It's actually about a new birth that happens in an individual's life. And that new birth is marked by specific things that happen within one's life. When I think about, we all profess things at times that we don't actually live up to, right? We profess love for certain things and then we don't really show the fruits of those love. And many times when we stop and we get to know what we say we love to a deeper level, we realize that there's a whole new way that we can love something or that we can follow something or new blessings that are in something. I love my wife much more than the first day that we met. I won't tell you what happened the first day we met. Anyways. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, past perfect tense, or present perfect tense is I know him, or I've had a one-time experience in my life whereby I've accepted Jesus Christ, and that work of salvation is continually working in my life, and keepeth not his commandments, present tense, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, keep is a really interesting word. Keep means to treasure something. Okay? So, I keep my wedding ring. I treasure my wedding ring. Or, in that day, it's a navigational term where people would keep in sight the stars in the heaven. Okay, does everybody understand that? Why? Because they want to stay on course. They might lose the stars for a little bit, but their treasure was keeping the stars. Our treasure as Christians, is to know God's character as explained through God's word and then ask the Holy Spirit to enable us as we surrender to the word of God to keep his commandments because his life is working through us and his action is working in us. That's very important that we understand this. That's why I'm taking so long to explain to you your position in Christ. Why? Because the more you know your position in Christ, the more that affects your practice for Christ. If you put the practice before the position, you're doing your work. If you put the practice through the position, you're doing Christ's work. And we want to do the work of Christ in Bethel Baptist Church. We don't want to do the work of Pastor James. We don't want to do the work of anybody through the power of the flesh. We want to do the work of Christ through what he's given to us. So if you say you know God, then there is a desire to treasure, to put in high esteem his commandments. Verse 5, but whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So we're saying that Christ abides in us. We're saying that Christ lives in us. Remember, before you knew Christ, you were dead spiritually. You had no ability to offer anything to God that he would accept. Ephesians chapter 2 says you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Then what happened? Christ came into your life and you were made spiritually alive. And that spiritual place that the Holy Spirit applied to your inner man that made it able to be cleansed, that the Godhead themselves, yes, three in one, or himself, was able to abide in you. You understand that? Like you have the Godhead in you. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit resides in every Christian. How was that done? The blood of Christ cleansed you spiritually, translated you from this kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now that's a transformation that happened to everyone that puts their trust in Jesus Christ. So what should happen? Well, there should be a desire to walk in honesty, in purity, and in righteousness as Christ walked. John 1:7 says this, 1 John 1:7, but if he walked in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7 tells us, since Christ is in the light and walking in honesty and walking in purity, so we should also do the same. 1 John 3:4. 1 John 3:4 said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth off the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So, and ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, or does not stay in a state of making excuses for sin, but rather treasures the commandments of God. How many of you have ever been anywhere and you've lost a child in a crowd? All right. I wasn't raising my hand because that's happened to me. Maybe. But how many of his parents have ever not known where? One time, Lena fell asleep in the downstairs, because they used to play house downstairs, and she fell asleep behind the heating system that we have downstairs. And we were in a panic because we couldn't find her. How many of you have ever been there? Panicked. And then once we found her, the joy that hit our heart was, why? Because we treasure our daughter. How many of you have ever broken fellowship with God through a decision that you've made? A Christian should have passion to reconnect the fellowship that they have with God. They should be willing to do anything to reconnect that. And that's like, truly, that's what the Book of Song of Solomon's is about. Like reconnecting broken, hurt relationships. Okay? It's very sweet when a husband and wife reconnect a broken relationship, right? We rejoice. It's not fun to live in friction, is it? No, we like to live in peace. We like to live in harmony. We like to live in unity. And that unity that we live in causes us to take action. It just doesn't cause us not to do some things. It causes us to do things. Christians, you know that you're part of a vine, right? According to John chapter 15. And you're intricately connected to that vine. You get all your supply from that vine. The vine being Jesus Christ. He says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Where are branches supposed to get their total nutrients from? The vine, right? I've never seen a vine of something go and grab nutrients. The branches of a vine grab nutrients from something other than the vine itself. Yet we as Christians try to get our nutrients from anything but Christ at times. So you say, well, what does it look like to be do good works? Well, it looks like a surrendered mother, a surrendered father, doing the everyday responsibilities God has given to them. You know where one of my biggest issues of where we have to have dependence in Christ, patience? The 401. Toronto traffic. Somebody just cut you off. What do you want to do when that happens? I'm pretty chill. But when people cut me off, there's this like thing that happens within me, and my foot like grows like 10 pounds heavier, and I just feel like putting the gas through the floor and cutting them off. I don't do that when my wife's in the car. No, that's not godly, right? That's when we need the strength of God to happen. That's when we need the strength of God to supply. Christian, what am I trying to get? I'm trying to explain what you have in your position. Because when you understand what you have in your position and you surrender to that position, it affects your practice. So if you claim Christ, you should have him as Lord of your life. You should be committed to him. You should have a lifestyle that seeks after him. And then finally, going back to 1 John chapter 1. This is all introduction, by the way, so we're not going to have a long coffee muffin time. 1 John chapter number 2, Let's start in verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. So why should we live in this lifestyle? Because that's what's been expressed to us from the beginning, right? Like the gospel message truly starts in Genesis. Everybody understand that? If you want to explain the gospel message, you start in Genesis. Why? Well, because people need to know the character of God. Where are you going to find that? You're going to find that in Genesis. They need to know the character of man and the perfection, how God made them in perfection. But man chose to sin and go his own way and totally broke himself from his only source of life, which is God. And then you need to understand that God and how he approached man, giving him a promise that he would take care of the problem because he had this awesome grace, this unmerited favor that he wanted to distribute to us through a promise deliverer, totally through prophecy, over 350 prophecies of Jesus Christ and what he would look like when he came to this earth, Jesus Christ fulfilling every single one of them, dying on the cross, raising 3 days later from the dead. Gospel starts in Genesis. So this is the old commandment, that you should be committed to God. That there's this new life that God would give to you. There's this new heart according to Ezekiel or Jeremiah's prophecy. A new heart and a new spirit that would be implanted in you. Right? Verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and true light now shineth. He that saith he's in the light, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. So if you profess Christ, you need to understand your position in Christ, because you need to understand that Christ is Lord of your life. You need to seek the lifestyle of Christ, and you need to love the brethren. Or your profession isn't true. It's a fake profession. We believe a lot of falsehoods. I heard a pastor tell a joke about a man that came in to see the doctor, and he told the nurse that he thought he had a problem, that he was invisible. So the doctor told the nurse and told the nurse to go out back out and tell him that he couldn't see him right now. So when we believe a lot of false things at times. If you're listening to politicians and actually thinking that they're telling the truth, you're probably believing a lie, right? The joke is, how do you know a politician is lying? His mouth is moving, right? So when we look at that and we think about that, we hear false professions all the time. We want real professions of faith. We want professions that are connected to a personal relationship with God. Okay, now we'll go to our notes, okay? So have this. This is what I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to explain who we are in Christ through these lessons that I'm preaching. So as a new creation in Christ, I have been made alive with Christ. We looked at that last week. Now only as new creations in Christ, I have made, not only as new creations in Christ, I have been made alive with Christ, but also I have been renewed for deep relationship with God. All right? So I'm made alive with Christ. Why did Christ make me alive? So I could have relationship with God. So that I could have communication with God. So that God's life could be placed in this body. And then God's work could work through this body. So Christ gets all the glory and all the honor and all the praise instead of me. Okay? So in Genesis 1:26-27 tells us, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God, image of God, created he him. Male and female created he them. So God made mankind spirit, which enables conscious awareness of God and connects us to God. Man's soul enables conscious awareness of self and others. Man's spirit is our true nature that is either alive or dead to God. Man's soul is our unique personality, distinguishing us from others. Some of us have quite the personality, don't we? Mankind's spirit is set apart from animals and the angels. Mankind's soul allows us to think, feel, and make decisions on a deep level. All right? So the triune God had been content throughout eternity past. He is the self-existing existent. He needs nothing. Yet he chose to invite people into the kind of relationship that he has always enjoyed within the Trinity. By this relationship, mankind could enjoy God and live out God's glory and character. They could experience wholeness, satisfaction, potential, significance, belonging, hope, and security in their relationship with God. But we know that sin corrupts the whole of mankind's being, including their soul, mind, emotions, and will. From that point forward, Satan ruled within them, preventing them from living out their full potential. Isn't that what Romans 3 is talking about? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, not just the glory of the character of God, but the glory of the purpose that God has for man. God created man with a purpose. What was the purpose? For man to find all of his satisfaction, all of his potential, all of his security in God himself. Christian, are you finding all your security, all your potential, all your happiness and joy in God himself? Now, God had a plan, right? He wasn't taken by surprise when Adam ate of the fruit, whatever it was. Some people said it was apples. I think apples are a little bit too good to be the fruit. We don't know what the fruit was, but we know that man ate of it, thus choosing to go against God, right? And in that moment, he decided to be his own God. Man decided to be the ruler of his own life. And we say, how could Adam do that? It's very easy for us to find faults in others and excuse our own, right? How many of us make decisions without even going to God first? How many of us make decisions without praying God's divine direction in our life? It just makes sense. How many of us say it's my way or the highway? Does God work through that type of attitude? Even if you're right, does God work through that type of attitude? You know, church, I think that on Wednesday nights when I get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, like that is such a powerful scripture in the Bible that every independent fundamental Baptist church needs to study and live out through the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. Are we patient with other people's faults? Are we kind? Are we long-suffering? Parents, are we long-suffering when our kids are driving us nuts? Right? Do you know what long-suffering means? It means having the ability through Christ to suffer long. If you don't have kids and you'll understand this. You will understand this so well. Suffering long. And it's okay, because that gives us the ability to trust in Christ when we're frazzled, when we're to the limit. These kids have drove me to the limit. Trust in God. Put your faith in Christ. Understand who you are in Christ and what that's enabled you to do. Or somebody cuts you off again while you're driving. And you have that first reaction of the body of death because of sin. What do? You pray. God, I should not have this attitude. Change this attitude within me. A mom explaining to her kids for the 1,500th time how to do math, and they still don't get it because they're like their dad. And the dad says, pull out the calculator. That's what they're made for. Not really. Sometimes. So what do? You pray. And you say, God, I need you right now. I don't have the strength to show your patience, your consistency, your righteousness in a godly way. Hey, you can know what is right, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. To perfection. You can know every language as much as the angels know every language. You can know every doctrine to the intrinsic degree. But if you don't have love, take two pots out. This might help some of you ladies and men, not just ladies. Take two pots out and start just clanging them together. It's clang, clang, clang. Because that's what it sounds like to God. But Christian, God's enabled you to do that because he cares about you and he wants a relationship to show himself through you. Turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. Colossians 2:10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Man, that is wholeness, isn't it? God, through his design, has put a God-sized hole in every individual's life that only He can fill. And Christian, He's filled it for us. We are complete in Him. We can find satisfaction in God. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Healthy food that is hard to eat provides sustenance and nourishment to the body, right? It provides what the body needs. Do we always like healthy food? Some of you might. Pastor James, on the other hand, he's looking forward to pumpkin pie tomorrow, right? Today, too. Oh. So when we look at this and we understand this, my friends, what am I saying to you? All you need is Jesus. That's all you need. Salvation is a new birth in Christ, and it gives the believer full potential to live out Christ's life by the Spirit within them. You know, when you got saved, you're not your own. You're bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we only like to look at that negatively, right? That's really positive. That's really positive. Why is that really positive? How many of you have ever tried something over and over and over and you just can't get it? Grammatical analysis was a class I had to take in college. It's how to learn other languages. Well, I have trouble with English, and I was born with the English language, okay? I mean, that was a hard class. But there was a student that was brilliant in that class. And usually in those classes, it was girls, okay, that were smart. The boys, we were all lost. But the girls, for some reason, could get those language classes. So every breakfast, because I wanted to pass this, because it was the last class and I knew I needed to be graduated from college before I could marry my wife. So I wanted to pass this class. And so every breakfast, I would go in. And I wouldn't go in for breakfast. I would pay the money and not eat. I would go down and I would sit by this girl in the class and I would say, hey, wasn't homework so interesting last night? You know, problem 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we only had 5 problems. What did you get out of it? Oh, James, did you see how this worked? Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I see. I see. Oh, thank you. I got an A+ in that class. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying I had to trust in somebody besides myself to help me with something. In the same way, we've got to trust in Christ completely and totally. Look, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was not passing that class without that help. And once I surrendered to the fact, hey, you're going to need some help at any cost, and I got it, we passed. Do you guys get this? Have you ever been in a place in your life that you just needed help from somebody else? Heaven pity you if you've never needed help from anybody else. Like, that's not a nice thing. You become self-dependent, and that is very dangerous. I'm not saying self-confident with God's help. I'm saying self-dependent, like I can do anything. God is there for you, Christian, to have a relationship where you can be whole. You can feel all the potential of what He has for you. You find your significance in Him and through Him. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. You know, there's a spirit of this world that will direct you to conform to it. Romans chapter 12. Christian, we should be fighting against conformity to this world. Because we belong to Christ. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Christ in his crucifixion and in his resurrection has bought unsearchable treasures for the Christian that are ours to grab onto. Thank the Lord for that. It's Thanksgiving. Thank the Lord for what you have in Christ. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing scripture with the things which with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is not judged of known man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. No one can know what another person is thinking unless they share it with them. So God has done just that with those who are in Christ. He has given them the Spirit so that he can share with them his thoughts, his way of thinking. As believers study God's word and yield to his Spirit within them, little by little he shares with them his own wisdom and understanding, and they gradually begin to think the way God thinks. God renewed the Christian's emotions. So not only did God renew your way of thinking through the new birth, he also renewed and gave you a new way to feel. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Some of us that are personally conditioned in our own persons to fear and fret. That's not coming from God. I'm raising my hand because, man, my favorite statement is I can make a mountain out of a molehill. What should I do when that temptation comes? I should fall on my knees and say, God, you're not giving me the spirit of fear. You're giving me the spirit of power and of a sound mind. Because when you're afraid, I know this. So when I point at you, how many fingers are pointing at me? Three are pointing at me, okay? I should put that down. That's a little bit too American. Bang, bang. So when you do that, you got to think, right? Like, man, you guys start talking to me about how the world's going. By the way, I don't think God meant for us to have as much information as we take in on a daily basis about how bad the world is. Take that. I'm not saying if you can handle it, amen. I can't. It just gets me all afraid. Oh, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to be out in the street in a cardboard box. What's going to happen? Hey, if I have Jesus in a cardboard box, I got to trust him. That's hard, though. Because I don't want to be living in a cardboard box. I like my house. We have to learn how to trust. Does everybody? God has given us the ability to not be. How many of you are in a state of fear making decisions in a state of fear? They're really sound decisions, aren't they? They're terrible decisions that hurt not just you, it hurts everybody around you. God does not want us to be an emotional wreck. He wants to provide, and it's ours. It's the riches that He's given to us as Christians. A sound, serious mind, not an unstable mind. Oh, what should I do? No, God's given us a sound mind. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now this was a man writing from a bed of roses, right? That had no problems. Paul didn't have any problems. He never was beaten. He never was stoned. He never was left for dead. He never was shipwrecked, right? He just had an easy life. He had a privileged life. I dare say none of us have been through what Paul's been through. So how was he able to say this? Because he was searching the unsearchable riches that he had in Christ. And it changed his mind. And it changed his emotions. I wish I could understand this. And I wish all of you could understand this. Because the Christian life is meant to be a wonderful, satisfying, fulfilling life in Christ. Christ renew the believer's will, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His own of His good pleasure. So why do you not work for, but work out your own salvation in fear and trembling? Because through salvation, you are given the willpower to do God's will. Now, how does that happen? Well, we know that we have an advocate before the Father. Who is our advocate before the Father? Christ is our advocate before the Father, right? Now, Christ has given us an advocate for Him, for Christ, to show us what we have in Christ. So the Holy Spirit's job is to show the Christian through the Word of God what you have in Christ. Right? So the Holy Spirit works. And there's been denominations that have stole the power of the Holy Spirit to where now we're afraid to talk about it because people think we're talking about and all that stuff. I'm not talking about uncontrol, talking in tongues that make no sense. I'm talking about direction that leads you in what you have in Christ and the ability to make decisions through what you have in Christ. As a Christian, creation in Christ, I have been renewed for deep relationship with God. As a new creation in Christ, I have been made alive in Christ, renewed for a deep relationship with God. So if the believer could be removed from Christ, then since we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, Christ would be removed from His throne in heaven, and according to Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ's death and resurrection would have to be reversed. John 11:25-26. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall have never die. Believest thou this? Then, if we could lose our salvation, then the life that God gives us isn't eternal after all. John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The promise of God is untrue. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have sometimes life. Everlasting life. The recreation could be reversed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Finally, one remains saved by his own efforts. If I can lose my salvation, that means I stay saved by my own efforts. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So I've been forgiven of my sin, and the Holy Spirit has indwelt my spirit. Our life is Christ's very life in us. It cannot be taken from us. We are already seated with him in heaven, and we are indwelt by his Spirit. In Christ, we are just as secure as he is. Is anybody going to take Christ off of his seat in heaven? We're seated with Christ. Our relationship with Christ is one of full dependence on him. We learn to love him and enjoy his company as we allow him access into every area of our lives. We reveal his glory as he transforms us day by day and lives out his life through us. Christ is my very life. As God made Adam a living being, he made me a spiritually alive in Christ. I am in an eternal relationship with Christ. Unlike Adam, this can never be undone. Now let me say this. There's a whole lot of false professions being made in Christendom today. They profess Christ, they've never possessed Christ. So if people are living and they're not treasuring the commandments of God, they don't care what God thinks. They don't love their brethren. They don't care about changing their lifestyle to fit God's direction. And those people aren't saved by the word of God itself. It says that in the word of God that they're not saved. That's not my opinion. That's God's word that says that. All right? But if someone is truly saved, the Holy Spirit has done a true work in their life, and they have been translated from the kingdom of darkness and been translated from the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of God's dear Son. To be taken out of that would mean Christ would have to lose his very position in heaven, because I'm seated with Christ in heaven right now. Can we all say thank you, Jesus, for that? We don't have to say it out loud, but in your mind say thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your great love, wherein you loved us, that we should have the honor and the privilege to be called the sons and daughters of God. God, may you use this thought as you've used it in my life to really understand how much we mean to you. God, we don't understand why we mean so much, but we're so thankful that we do, that you would pour us with such privilege and such love. May we know to a deeper level the unsearchable riches of what we have in God through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.